Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up today on the program, Festival Chair Charlie Seaman has the details about the 7th Annual Festival of the Arts, BOCA, which runs March 7th through the 16th. Our film critic Dan Hudak previews the 30th Annual Miami International Film Festival, which launches today. And our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski, Community Development Director with the Broward Cultural Division. Dedicated to supporting Scottish culture and heritage through Scottish dance, literature, cuisine, music, and art, the not-for-profit Scottish American Society of South Florida produces many events throughout each year. Tomorrow, the Society presents their 30th annual Southeast Florida Scottish Festival and Games at Snyder Park in Fort Lauderdale. And with us today, with all the details, is Mr. Nigel McDonald and Mr. Robert Ritchie. And we welcome you both back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Ed.
Ed, thank you for having us back again to promote our and let people know our heritage, our Scottish heritage, and the 30th annual Highland Games.
30th annual. You guys have been around since the early 80s. Take us back and tell us how the Scottish American Society of South Florida was founded and who was involved. Nigel?
We have a... many different aspects of Scottish culture down here. The Scottish dancing, the piping. We had there were two pipe bands. So actually, one also in Palm Beach, and
back in the early 80s.
Early 80s, and Highland dancers, and we all went out to other towns like Atlanta or Grandfather Mountain to
Grandfather Mountain, North Carolina.
Exactly.
What a great area!
Right.
I've been to one of their Scottish festivals.
Beautiful. Yes, they've been going since the 1940s. But then we thought, well, it was about time we had a festival down here. We, you know, bring it to the locals and let people discover their Scottish heritage in this area.
So so who was involved in those early years? You guys were both involved?
It basically came out originally from the St. Andrews Pipe Band. It was Robert, myself, and Cliff Borden and a few others. And we had some very good friends, a couple of people who are actually Polish of origin. There was a Savinsky who was our treasurer and a Chauvelin who was our secretary. So it's very across the across cultural lines. It's not specifically – we don't hold it to Scottish ancestry, you know. Everybody who enjoys this music
–
this,
right,
it's very
everybody wants to get in on the fun.
Try to be very – it's very colorful, very very colorful.
That's
culture,
typically
right?
Scottish, though, is it not? I mean, we have so many every other person down here has got some Scottish blood in them. How big is the Scots American population here in South Florida, would you imagine?
Well, actually, we're scattered all over South Florida, and we don't seem to be in the one area. We're from the Keys up to Palm Beach, and we're down at Bayshore or Biscayne Yacht Club for their Burn Supper, and there were people in their kilts, and they had a Burn Supper there, and it was the Monroes and the Mathesons and all the old original families from South Florida.
And Coconut
all the
Grove.
Scottish and Coconut Grove.
Wow,
yes,
the early
yes.
founders of Coconut Grove.
Yes.
That I understand, was the literati from the northeast section of the country in what, the mid-1800s, I believe.
Yes, and then came
the
down
Mathesons
here and started the festival.
And that was a very liberal town at that time. I mean, everybody was embraced. The Black Bahamians, the Seminole Indians in Coconut Grove are very ahead of its time. A lot of Scots.
Well, the Scottish Society actually started with the purpose of just putting on the Highland Games, but we've expanded it to be more of a social group now. We do a Dinner of the Month Club and do a golf tournament in June and have done other events, burn suppers. But the original beginning of the society was just for the purpose of putting on the Highland Games and trying to bring the Scottish community all back together, make a group of the pipe bands and the different Daughters of Scotias and the different separate clubs and bring it all under one umbrella. But it was hard getting started because every time we tried to have meetings, we'd end up fighting with each other and stomping out.
Now, that's the old joke.
It took a while before we could finally get organized and the right personalities to finally get it started. And now we've been able to continue for 30 years.
You mentioned the Burns Banquet that celebrated the great Scottish poet Robert Burns. That's your annual event, what, always held in January?
Yes, it's
on his birthday.
On his birthday, as close to his birthday as you can. I mean, a couple of times we've had to have it in February because they are multiple burn suppers down here. Again, different clubs want to have their own burn supper, so we have to maneuver around each other. And But we try and get as close to his birthday, which is January 25th. So every year we try to get not compete with each other and leave weekends or dates open available for that.
Mm-hmm. Should any of our listeners be interested in taking part in the fun, the 30th annual Southeast Florida Scottish Festival and Games is tomorrow at Snyder Park. That's 3299 Southwest 4th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale, that's just north of 595 and west of US 1. You can also find out more information on their website at sassf.org or call their number at 954-460-5000. Gentlemen, let's start talking about the various elements in tomorrow's big festival and games. May we start with the Honored Scotsman of the Day?
Well, the Honored Scotsman of the Day, we were trying to pick someone, and we decided that we would make it the Honored Scotsman Nigel McDonald, since he was the first president 30 years ago. And
you're president emeritus, yeah?
Yes, I'm president now. Yes, yes.
Well, you look enthused.
It's been a long haul, and
we haven't changed a bit, Ed. You know, we looked this ugly way back then, too, right?
So that's a wonderful honor. Now you have another designation, Scotsman of the Day?
It's Honorary Scotsman of the Day, and this year we asked Mayor Jack Seiler from the City of Fort Lauderdale to be the Honorary Scotsman of the Day.
Ah.
And it was funny, when we first asked him, his heritage is Irish. And I asked him at the commission meeting if he would be the honorary – one of our members asked him to be the Honored Scotsman, and he said, well, don't tell my family because I'm Irish. And I said, no, you're the Honorary Scotsman of the day. So you can still keep your Irish heritage, but for the day you'll be a Scotsman.
Many entertainers, and you'll have to help me with my Gaelic, bad pronunciation here. Let's talk about the wonderful bands you brought in from far and wide.
As for our 30th anniversary, we were fortunate enough to have a band, Albanach. They're on tour from Scotland, and it's a Braveheart-style band with wraparound kilts, and they play African drums with the bagpipes. And it's a little bit different, but they happen to be on tour here in the States from Scotland, and the schedule worked out well that we could bring them down for the game. They have quite a following in Renaissance fairs also that they attend. We also have Rathkilter, which is a Celtic rock band, actually out of Jacksonville or the Carolinas, and so they'll be on the stage. We have an entertainment stage that goes on all day long, so that's separate of the actual games themselves. The entertainment goes on, the entertainment stage. We have a folk singer, Charlie Zahm, which is here with a fiddle player. So there's nonstop entertainment at the entertainment. And as they're changing from one band to the other, there'll be pipe bands playing also in the entertainment.
Now, what was the pipe band that we started the show off with? Tell us about that. That's a local group.
Yes, we've tried to rotate having a host pipe band between St. Andrews Pipe Band, the Fort Lauderdale Highlanders, the Palm Beach Pipes and Drums. And this year, it's the FOP Police Pipe and Drum out of Fort Lauderdale.
Hmm.
And so they're our host band this year. And the
what were they playing there, Robert?
Yeah, they opened up with the tune Wings, which is actually the Canadian Air Force song, but that's that was from their CD.
Also very popular in Scotland these days, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now, a lot of competition going on, of course. Piping and drumming competition. What would that involve? How many groups are involved?
We've probably got about 200 pipers coming, which is 14. I think we're up to 14 pipe bands. They come from all over the state. And unfortunately, that's why we only have the festival on the one day on Saturday. It's not on Sunday because they need Sunday to travel back home again.
Mm-hmm.
But the bands compete in different divisions, grade 4, grade 5 competition. In the mornings, it's all the individual competitors. And then after the opening ceremony, which is 12 noon, where all the pipe bands march in together and have the massed pipe bands, then they get tuned up and they start competing against each other. And we bring in judges from all over the country and Canada. And fortunately, this year, our judges that we have were some of our first judges in the year. So for 30th anniversary, we wanted to bring them back also.
Now, do you actually find the best pipe player? Do you go for best soloist?
In every grade, we have 4 grades of individual pipers.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, the 2 highest grade pipers that will be competing tomorrow, I believe, are from the St. Andrews Pipe Band.
Mm.
They're a young boy and a young girl called the Beers, who are now in grade 2, which is about as high a level as you'll see down in this area.
How old are they?
The boy is 17 and the girl is 21, 22, something like that. They started with the band when they were about 14 a while back, you know. It's come on amazingly.
In our final few minutes together, you've got Highland Dancing Competition. I know your kids were involved in Highland Dancing, and you've got a sheepdog demonstration. You don't see too many sheepdogs down here in South Florida.
No, they actually come down from Melbourne. We have to bring them down from Melbourne.
A little bit colder in Melbourne.
But our original sheepdog herder was from here in Davie, oddly enough. And unfortunately, he passed away a number of years ago.
We have just a few moments together. I'm sorry. Heavy athletics, hammer throwing, stone throwing, tossing the sheaf.
Tossing the sheath, 22 pounds, 16 pounds actually of sheath that's tossed about 25 feet in the air. Mm. And tossing the caber, a 20-foot tree
that's
tossed end over end.
Now, do you have to go out and cut that down in the Everglades somewhere?
Pretty much, yeah. The first year we had to go into a Cala forest. We brought them down from there.
Wow.
These days we get cypress logs from the Miccosukee Indians.
Really?
Nobody else is allowed to touch cypress, but it works.
Those things are heavy.
Yeah, the problem is when you throw a lot of trees, they split. So only certain woods are going to work for you.
And I want the opportunity to mention we have the Cayley tonight, which is the entertainment that's at the Highland Games. If you can't make the games tomorrow, all the entertainment that is at the games will be at Hill 16 McGuire's up in Fort Lauderdale on Andrews Avenue. And that's a four-hour show of the entertainment that will be at the field tomorrow.
Marvelous. So much else going on. Masked pipe bands, Scottish food, drink, and merchandise. You've got even Scottish beer, I understand.
We're pretty much exclusively Scottish beer this year. We've managed to get Tennent's back in. Tennent's Lager has just come back in the country, and we have our sponsor. One of our sponsors is Belhaven Beer, which has the Wee Heavy and the Lager and the Twisted Thistle beers, and very good. Thanks.
Sounds delicious. Well, we want to say thank you, gentlemen, Nigel McDonald, President Emeritus, and Robert Ritchie, current president of the Southeast Scottish Festival and Games and their organization. More info at sassf.org or call 954-460-5000. It's tomorrow at Snyder Park from 9 to 7. And, gentlemen, good luck. I'm sure you're going to get some great weather for it.
We will.
Thank you.
We will.
Thanks for having us.
A little cool for our tilt.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, film critic Dan Hudak previews the 30th annual Miami International Film Festival with festival executive director Jay LaPlante. Our Broward County Arts calendar today features Jody Horn-Leschinski with enticing events for you to consider. Now, let's get a preview of the exciting seventh season for the Festival of the Arts BOCA. Our classical arts contributor, Charles Greenfield, has the details.
While so much of classical music in South Florida generates from big box venues like downtown Miami's Arts Center and the Frank Gehry-designed New World Symphony Hall off Miami Beach's Lincoln Road, it is refreshing to look north in March for an exciting 10-day festival of classical music, jazz, pop, acrobatics, and literature. Presented by the Schmidt Family Center for the Arts at the Meisner Park Amphitheater and the Cultural Arts Center in Boca Raton, the 7th Annual Festival of the Arts BOCA takes place March 7th through the 16th. Says festival chair Charlie Seaman, this festival has truly evolved into a one-of-a-kind cultural celebration, bringing the best in music, artistic performance, and ideas to South Florida. Recently, I spoke to Festival of the Arts BOCA Festival chair Charlie Seaman about the vibrant roster of entertainers and writers for the 7th Annual Festival of the Arts BOCA. Charlie Seaman, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here and have an opportunity to chat with you.
Tell us a little bit about the genesis of Festival of the Arts BOCA. This will be its seventh season. What are some of the growing pains and successes? And I also noticed your website, festivalofthearts.org, has a brand new look, real snazzy.
It is, and we're really quite pleased. We looked carefully at our success in marketing in the last couple of years, and believed that we needed to target to a new generation, and it's been well received. Our hits have gone up tremendously on the internet.
Now, where are the main events held in the Boca Raton town itself, and tell us a little bit about the acoustics?
It's held in the Meisner Park Amphitheater, which for the festival, a very large clear-span tent is erected that covers the entire amphitheater. And our sound system is a very sophisticated system that includes effectively speakers surrounding, hung on the tent. So you get a really wonderful sound. When Renee Fleming was here the first year of our tent, we got rave reviews about our acoustics, and we think they're really superior.
Now let's go right into the exciting schedule, kicking off March 7th with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. I'm sure the original members are playing their tunes from up above. Of course, there's a new generation of musicians.
It's a new generation, but it's all in the family. The manager is actually the son of the founder, original founder. And they're a very popular act. I've heard them a number of times. I actually had an experience with them in New Orleans in City Hall. But we thought they would be a very popular Main Street traditional group. And they've really gotten popular with young people recently. So, again, since we're focusing so much on getting new audiences into the fine arts, we thought this would be a great program.
How many musicians are there in the group?
There are five.
And they will be playing the old-time favorites from Bourbon Street and from Preservation Hall, which is an actual place.
They will.
Now, on March 8th, you bring the Japanese drumming tradition with Kodo. What does that name mean? The only place I've seen this type of spectacle was recently at a festival at the Murakami Museum and Japanese Gardens in Delray
right.
Beach.
Kodo is probably the best-known and worldwide taiko drum group. They were on a new tour 2013, and we were able to get them there also in Dade County during this tour. And we're trying to, once again, broaden our reach, our experience. I'm mostly an opera and classical music fan. But if you get people to come and see an act like Kodo, and then they look at the other programming, that's our best marketing.
The Korean violinist Amadeus Leopold seems to borrow some names from Mozart. He's young, a classically trained former prodigy. He seems to reflect some crossover between classical and pop. He plays March 9th.
And we're very excited. You know, we've had Itzhak Perlman a number of times. We celebrated his 50th anniversary of his first program here, and he recommends Amadeus without qualification. And he's going to play one of my favorite pieces, which I was fortunate to hear Joshua Bell play at 18, and I've heard Itzhak play it, Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto in D.
Well, that will certainly bring a smile to a lot of the listeners. A festival favorite is conductor Konstantin Kitsopoulos, who performs March 9th and 14th. Tell us about him and the orchestras he will be leading during the festival.
Konstantin is from the New York metropolitan area, has a number of assignments, and has appeared at the festival a number of times. He's become our music director 3 years ago and assists us in putting together our themes and our programming. And he will be conducting our own Boca Symphonia. We had originally hoped to have another orchestra this year, but we've had really good success with the Boca Symphony the last couple of years with Konstantin leading them. And we've supplemented some of their core with some additional players. He is a wonderful contribution to our festival.
What's on the program with him and the orchestra?
The Amadeus program is in all Tchaikovsky. The festival coronation march, I mentioned the violin concerto in D major, and then the symphony number 5. So we think that's a pretty great program. And then he will conduct Cameron Carpenter on Thursday with the same Boca Raton Symphonia. Cameron is a tremendous young organist who has a very broad repertoire. And he's going to play some Barber, Prelude and Fugue, the Spitfire from Walton, the Toccata Festiva from Barber, and then the Symphony No. 3 by Camille Saint-Saëns, the organ symphony.
Now you've got the Peking Acrobats coming. They defy gravity. They will entertain us March 10th. And then the big draw, I think, will be Valentina Lisitsa, who's been performing with you before, apparently. I saw her years ago when she won the Murray Dranoff two-piano competition in Miami. She's probably the leading female classical pianist on YouTube and plays Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody in a Theme of Paganini with the New World Symphony. That should be very exciting.
It is. We had Valentina before. She's an extraordinary artist, but she's also an extraordinary person, very generous with her time and dealing with the audience, and we think this is going to be a great opportunity. We're very happy to have the New World Symphony in Boca Raton. We think it's a tremendous opportunity, and we've had a lot of sponsorships to get a lot of young musicians in Palm Beach County and Broward County to be able to come and hear that concert.
And who is the conductor, Charlie?
Peter Uchin is the conductor, and we're very happy to have him. He's never conducted at the festival before, and he's, I think, a wonderful musician.
Now, you have five Tony Award-winning, two Grammy Award-winning singer-actress Audra McDonald on March 16th. And then I don't want to lose out on the literary part of the festival.
Well, Audra is a multi-talented artist. She's been a feature in TV programs, but a wonderful singer and a great voice. And she's equally at home with opera and Broadway. And we're looking forward to a very popular program. It's right now our best-selling concert of the festival, and she's just a treat. We know we're going to get some Porgy and Bess. She just finished the Broadway version of a two-year, very, very successful run.
There's going to be a literary component, and quickly, what dates?
They will be a Saturday in the afternoon. David Ignatius, Thomas Keneally, we're very happy. He's the author of Schindler's List. He's coming all the way from Australia, and we have a wonderful opportunity to get him before a lot of school children studying the Holocaust. General George Casey, he's the retired chief of staff of the Army, who really was the one who transformed the Army in the post-9/11 period. And then Michael Sandel, who is a Harvard professor, justice, is a book he wrote, a spectacular ethicist, philosopher, and he will talk about what do we owe each other as citizens. I think a program that's really very, very right for this time of our lives.
Well, Charlie Seaman, thank you so much for participating on South Florida Arts Beat.
My great pleasures. We'll look forward to seeing you at the festival, Charles.
Thank you. The Festival of the Arts Boca 2013 brings great music and exciting new performers to the northern end of South Florida. Now in its seventh year, the ambitious program featuring classical jazz and pop music, acrobatics and orchestras, combined with renowned literary figures, can only grow larger and more popular in the years to come. It certainly belies the notion that the northern end of South Florida remains a cultural backwater. For more information, call 561-368-8445 or 866-571-2787. To purchase tickets, visit festivaloftheartsboca.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment.
First Presbyterian Church of Fort Lauderdale presents a free concert with Florida's Singing Sons Boy Choir on Sunday, March 3rd at 7 p.m. Founded in 1975, the award-winning Singing Sons is recognized as one of the outstanding boy choirs in the world. Information at First Presbyterian Church of Fort Lauderdale at 954-462-6200.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and at 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Please stay with us to catch our extensive Broward County arts calendar with Jody Horn-Leschinski coming up at the end of the show. Now our film critic Dan Hudak heralds the 30th anniversary of the esteemed Miami International Film Festival with a special guest.
As the Miami International Film Festival hits its landmark 30th anniversary, one might think it's time to reflect and rest a bit easy. One would be wrong to do so. With a retrospective series highlighting major films to play at the festival over the last 30 years just completed, it's full steam ahead with fresh, new, and innovative programming that's guaranteed to shock, provoke, excite, and challenge South Florida filmgoers. Tonight's opening night movie is 20 Feet from Stardom, which chronicles the importance of backup singers to musicians including Mick Jagger, Bruce Springsteen, and more. The rest of the festival, which runs through March 10th, will feature 10 world premieres and 9 North American premieres, and in total it will offer 117 films from more than 40 countries, which is like a gift from above for true film lovers. Other movies of note include Everybody Has a Plan, starring Viggo Mortensen in a Spanish-speaking role playing twin brothers, the Oscar-nominated foreign language film from Chile called No, starring Gael Garcia Bernal, and The Hunt is a Danish film that stars Casino Royale villain Mads Mikkelsen as a man falsely accused of child abuse. There's also the documentary Far Out Isn't Far Enough, the Tommy Ungerer story, which was written, produced, and directed by the Miami-based filmmaker Brad Bernstein and chronicles the work of the illustrator, political cartoonist, and children's author Tommy Ungerer. Here's a piece from the film's trailer.
Talent. He was drowning in talent.
Tommy was this wonderfully brilliant, innovative madman.
These are my best friends here. There's no color prejudice. I'm much better without heads.
I forgot to open a bottle.
I was very quickly known in New York as a condom man.
With other programming called Cinema Slam, Future Critics, and a redux of Cocaine Cowboys, this year's Miami International Film Festival promises both variety and spice. I recently sat down with the executive director of the festival, Jay LaPlante, to discuss what he has in store for us. Jay, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Jay, how is the festival better this year than it was last year?
Well, it's certainly bigger than it was last year. We have 205 individual events, which of course kicks off tonight with our opening night presentation of 20 Feet from Stardom at the Gusman Center, which is about 20% more events than we had last year. And a lot of that has to do with it being our 30th anniversary and just having some extra programs that we created in celebration of that event.
And one of those programs you had actually just ended your 30-year retrospective, which I thought was a great idea, because what better way to build excitement and anticipation for this year's festival than to revisit, however briefly, the last 29?
Yeah, correct. I think it was a really fun activity for, especially for people who got to check out a lot of the films along the way. You really saw the progression of how the programming has, you know, been realized through the 30 years leading up to tonight.
And the films that people probably hadn't seen in a long time, films people may not even be able to get anymore, like anywhere.
Yeah.
Some of the films were smaller in scope, but they were very popular films.
Absolutely. And actually, one of the funnest nights of the entire retrospective was when we screened Miami Rhapsody, which is David Frankel's film from 1995, which opened the festival that year. And we had David was here, and we also had a cast reunion party with Sarah Jessica Parker and David Frankel, of course, and Jeremy Piven. You know, it was a really fun night, great party afterwards. So, and then seeing the film in 35mm at the Tower Theater was really a fun, you know, reenactment.
Yes, and David lives in Coconut Grove. Not to give too much away. I hope he doesn't mind that. And we also have Billy Corbin and Alfred Spellman, who are noted South Florida filmmakers. They made The U and Cocaine Cowboys. They're coming in and giving a workshop on producing movies. Talk a little bit about the workshop first.
Yeah,
please.
Well, they're extremely busy guys, so we're extremely grateful that they agreed to do this workshop for us. And Alfred, in fact, was one of our jurors last year on the night documentary competition. But they've been developing with HBO a TV series version of their, you know, famous film, their seminal film, Cocaine Cowboys. So the series is still in development or in progress, and they're going to talk about, you know, what they're envisioning that to look like. So it should be a very intriguing sneak peek for anyone who wants to visit.
And it's interesting because Cinema Slam allows for a focus on Florida films and filmmakers. But I wanted to ask you, do we need to have more Florida-based filmmakers who remain, I don't want to say loyal to Florida, but remain kind of entrenched here? Is that a necessary thing in order to help build the festival and the film community, or does it maybe not matter so much?
I think it's very inspiring to artists who want to tell Florida stories. This coming Thursday, a little bit further along in our Cine Downtown galas, we have the world premiere of a film called Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, which is directed by Jokes Yannis, who was a former Miami-Dade College film student. And, shot the film in Florida. It looks great. There's a lot of the same creative team behind Magic City Memoirs, which was a massive hit at our 2011 festival. So, you know, the fact that they made this film here and then also wanted to have their world premiere here, I think really inspires other Florida filmmakers who want to do the same things as Jokes. I mean, it's certainly, you know, this film is a wonderful expression of the poetry of our soul as a city. So I'm really happy it's in the lineup.
And again, we should point out that people who are most interested in Florida films and filmmakers should check out the Cinema Slam programming, which has a variety of stuff, right?
Right. Well, the Cinema Slam is a competition that we put on every year for student films from the area schools. And we actually had the kickoff last night. We screened all of the winners, including our Audience Award winner, last night at O Cinema. So that was an exciting night. And that winning filmmaker is now enjoying their all-access pass to the Miami International Film Festival as a prize this week.
This year's career achievement tributes are going to Lasse Hallström and Fernando Treba. People may have heard of Lasse Hallström, The Cider House Rules, Chocolat. I mean, he's had some very notable films the last 10 to 15 years. Maybe not as many people have heard as Treba. Tell us about both.
I think Fernando Treba is very well known, at least to our Miami International Film Festival audience. Part of why we're paying tribute to him this year is because he is appearing for a record 10th time at the Miami International Film Festival. So in 30 years, he's the first director to hit double digits. We're here with his new film, the U.S. premiere of The Artist and the Model, which is just a beautiful, beautiful film. Stars Claudia Cardinale, Jean Rochefort. It screens next Friday at the Gussman. And certainly Lasse Hallström has had a more commercial career than Fernando. His connections to Miami International Film Festival are a little different. His very famous breakthrough film, My Life as a Dog, had its U.S. premiere at MIFF in 1987. So that's a very fond and special memory that we have of Lasse Hallström. So we're looking forward to welcoming them both.
In addition, you're also welcoming Lee Schrager, who has a section of programs here called The Culinary Cinema. Tell us about what Lee's up to.
Lee is a phenomenal man. He is he loves food, but he loves movies as well. In fact, that's one of the things that I really enjoy talking to him about. So earlier this year, I asked him if he could put together a culinary cinema section for us, and he's done that. This coming Sunday afternoon will be the kickoff of his program. We're starting with a brunch at Juvia Restaurant, the beautiful Juvia Restaurant on top of 1111 Lincoln Road, followed by a screening of a documentary from Brazil about some French chefs who relocated to Brazil to reimagine their cuisine. And three of those chefs from the movie are actually here with us in South Florida, and they will be cooking at the brunch, and then we'll all go see the movie after.
It's going to make a lot of people very hungry. Yeah. Now, I've intentionally saved the best for last, and this is completely 100% self-serving, and I completely admit this. But the Miami Future Cinema Critics is a new program this year. They are being mentored by members of the Florida Film Critics Circle. I am the chairman of the Florida Film Critics Circle. They will all be attending a panel on film criticism that I am moderating tomorrow afternoon at the Miami Beach Cinematheque at 3 o'clock. So, Jay, I figured since I'm kind of the star here, maybe you could ask me the questions.
Absolutely. So, Dan, I would like to know, what do you expect to get out of the Miami Future Cinema Critics?
Hopefully a group of aspiring young critics who are eager to learn and eager to add quality voices to film criticism. There are a lot of bloggers out there, a lot of people who quite honestly don't know what they're talking about. But if we have good, educated, analytical voices coming out of the program, that would be a total win all around for all of us.
No, that's great. I think that's what we're looking for, too. So I expect that you'll find that.
And for the panel, we have a panel of esteemed critics, David Edelstein, Claudia Puig, and the panel is going to discuss the state of film criticism today, how it's evolving, where it might go. It's going to be a really interesting panel. I guarantee laughter and thought-provoking discussion.
And I'll be there, so I look forward to it.
Thank you, Jay. So your long-term vision for the festival, how is it changing? How is it evolving in now your third year?
I think that I'm really looking forward to expanding the festival and, you know, part of the new programs that I've been creating, such as the Culinary Cinema. We didn't get a chance to talk about this earlier, but some innovative programming that we're doing at O Cinema just helps to expand our audience countywide and internationally as well. So that's part of the vision.
Great. Good stuff. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
The 30th Annual Miami International Film Festival begins today and runs through March 10th at numerous venues throughout Miami-Dade County. For more information, go to miamifilmfestival.com or call 305-405-MIFF. That's 6433. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at hudakonhollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And we welcome back Jody Horn-Leschinski, the Community Development Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Great to have you back with us, Jody.
Oh, it's so nice to be back.
Well, I hear you have a new director. I'd like to hear all about this gentleman.
And I would like to tell you about him. Earl Bosworth has recently taken the helm of the Broward Cultural Division, and he returns to the division after serving a 3-year stint as president of ArtServe. But prior to that, he was our assistant director for almost 7 years. And Earl brings a mixture of his artistic and his public administration background with more than 23 years of management experience in the public and the private sectors. He's also a professional musician and a published songwriter, so we're very proud to have Earl back again.
Now, we used to have Earl on when he was head of ArtServe, and he's a great gentleman and a wonderful support for the arts here in South Florida, isn't he?
He truly is. He's an artist, and he's a financial manager, and now he's our director. And, I mean, taking the mixture of that, he's really going to take Broward Cultural Division to the next level. So we're very excited. We're waiting to see his new vision, and he will, I am sure, share that with South Florida.
And you'll share it with us.
And I will. From public art to cultural tours, there's a lot to do and a lot to see at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport, Fort Lauderdale's own gateway to the world, and visitors can now make every minute count thanks to a new airport transportation and baggage storage service that aims to provide convenient access to area attractions and businesses. So visitors who have a few extra hours to spare can securely store their baggage at the airport and enjoy transportation on the Sun Trolley or even the water taxi to explore downtown Fort Lauderdale's cultural attractions, sites, dining, shopping, and entertainment. The downtown drop-off and pickup point is located at the Fort Lauderdale History Center near the area attractions and Las Olas Boulevard. The excursion price includes admissions to several attractions, including the historic Stranahan House, Fort Lauderdale History Center, and the Museum of Art Fort Lauderdale. Back at the airport, visitors can explore some of Broward County's public artworks, and the variety and scope of the artworks include paintings, prints, quilts, mosaic and terrazzo floors, sound art, photography, and an art exhibit showcasing artworks by Broward-based artists. The National Endowment for the Arts and Blue Star Families are inviting active duty military personnel and their families to participate in Blue Star 2013 Museum. Last summer, the program was a huge success with more than 1,800 museums across the United States participating, and they reported attendance by more than 475,000 active duty military personnel and their families. Free admission will be provided by the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood, Bonnet House Museum and Gardens, Coral Springs Museum of Art, Stranahan House Museum, International Swimming Hall of Fame Museum, and the Museum of Art, Fort Lauderdale. And if I didn't mention it before, it's between Memorial Day and Labor Day that this free admission is provided. Broward Cultural Division and Business for the Arts of Broward are so excited to announce that the Master Chorale of South Florida is the first organization to reach its funding goal through the new online crowdfunding source, powertogive.org/Broward. Within 21 days of posting their project, Choral Celebration A Decade of Distinction, their financial goal was met. There are still 18 projects posted on the powertogive.org/Broward website, including paintbrushes for the young Rembrandts in our community, the Hip Hop Symphony, and TM Sisters Curate Environmental Art Projects. Through the website, donors are able to give directly to arts and cultural projects seeking up to $10,000 in funding in Broward County. Business for the Arts of Broward launched Power to Give in January with a $75,000 support from the Knight Foundation, part of its Knight Arts Challenge, and $25,000 from the Broward Cultural Division. And to learn more, please visit their website at powertogive/Broward. Broward Cultural Division invites all county art locations to participate in Slow Art Day. This is a global, all-volunteer event with the simple mission to help more people discover the joy of looking at art slowly. One day each year, and this year it's April 27th, people all over the world will visit a local museum or galleries or even public art. And slowartday.com advises hosts to invite their friends, their colleagues, board members, elected officials, and residents to visit these artworks. Look at five pieces for 5 minutes each, and then as a group, discuss their experience. And that's it. Simple by design. The goal is to focus on the art and the art of seeing. If you are hosting a Slow Art Day, Broward Cultural Division wants to know, so please make sure you take photos and videos and let us know. So there's plenty of events coming up this weekend. The Museum of Art Fort Lauderdale presents Hori, Pre-Inca Lords of Peru exhibition. More than a millennium ago, across the coastal mountains of what is now Peru, a vast empire that is today almost forgotten entered its twilight. The Hori reigned for 400 years as the largest and most dominant culture in the Andes until the rise of the Inca centuries later. And now the museum is offering the opportunity to experience the distinct vision of the Hori. This carefully assembled exhibition of art presents a vision that is simultaneously ancient and contemporary, and the works of the people inhabiting a particular place and a particular time, but whose sensitivity speaks to the humanity that we share across the centuries. The Miami City Ballet presents Program 3, The Masters, at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The program is a combination of five distinct yet classical ballets, which includes La Valse, where 34 dancers waltz, to gripping music by Ravel, The Steadfast Tin Soldier, based on the Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale, and Tchaikovsky's Pas de Deux, set to unused music from Swan Lake that Balanchine acquired from the Bolshoi Theater's archives. There will also be free pre-performance talks with principal conductor Gary Sheldon. The 2013 Florida Renaissance Festival takes place at Quiet Waters Park in Deerfield Beach through March 17th. Celebrating 21 years of family entertainment, fun, and historical reenactments, the Florida Renaissance Festival will take patrons back into time, showcasing knights on horseback, kings and queens, pirates, fairies, wenches, dancing fools, time travelers, and singing merrymen. The 2013 Florida Scottish Festival and Highland Games takes place on Saturday at Snyder Park in Fort Lauderdale. Highlights include masked pipe bands, country dancing, fiddling and singing, piping and drumming competitions, Highland dancing, sheep herding, and more. There will be a special appearance by the Special Forces Association parachute team from Fort Bragg, North Carolina. The Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival presents a French mini-fest at Cinema Paradiso in downtown Fort Lauderdale this weekend. Get ready for 8 great films from France. The Museum of Discovery and Science and AutoNation IMAX Theater presents Flight of the Butterflies. Through spectacular 3D imagery, audiences will witness beautiful butterflies flying off the screen into their arms. The Biennes Center for the Arts at St. Thomas Aquinas High School welcomes Tito Puente Jr. on the Friday. The Association of Performing Arts of India presents a tribute to Pandit Ravi Shankar by Kartik Seshadri on sitar Saturday at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. He has been regarded as a musical powerhouse performing in the world's most prestigious festivals and venues. Stephanie Powers stars as Tallulah Bankhead in Matthew Lombardo's hysterical comedy Looped at Parker Playhouse now through Sunday. Don't miss this outrageous comedy. Coral Springs Center for the Arts presents Capitol Steps on Saturday. Capitol Steps plans to bring down the House and the Senate with their unique blend of music and political comedy. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, South Florida's guide to arts and culture. Never miss a thing. Get there.
And we thank Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Community Development Director for the Broward Cultural Division, for all of that information. So much going on in Broward, Jody.
There is. So get busy and plan your calendars.
Great weekend.
You too.
This Sunday, March 3rd, from 7 p.m. till 11:30, WLRN-TV Channel 17 presents 4 hours of nonstop Latin music nostalgia and a chance to support WLRN at the same time. Check out Enamorados del Bolero Sunday at 7 p.m. on Channel 17, Los 100 Sones Cubanos at 8:30, and at 10 p.m., Danzón Baile Inmortal. Enjoy 4 hours of nonstop Latin music nostalgia and support WLRN-TV Channel 17 this Sunday starting at 7 o'clock. South Florida Walk to Defeat ALS takes place tomorrow. More than 1,000 people will gather at TY Park for the Walk to Defeat ALS to raise critical funds for people in our community living with Lou Gehrig's disease. Registration starts at 8:30. For more info, go to walktodefeatals.org or call 888-257-1717, extension 126. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website at WLRN.org for more information and more info about our great guests today on the show with pictures and video. That's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to Andy Wagner, our technical director, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, and Jody Horn-Lashinsky. Please call us at 305-995-2258. We'd like to hear from you. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. Until next time, Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.